In Season and Out of Season is sponsored by In Season and Out of Season.
In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, good day. It's Father Tom. And I am glad to be with you today. I'm going to be reading today from the second book of Samuel. It's the reading that the church gave us in the office of readings, and it's the scriptural reading. The Lord's anger against Israel flared again, and he incited David against the Israelites by prompting him to number Israel and Judah. In other words, let's count. Let's make a count. This is what the world does. Let's count. Accordingly, the king said to Joab and the leaders of the army who were with him, "Tour all the tribes in Israel from Dan to Beersheba and count, register the people, that I may know their number." But Joab said to the king, "May the Lord your God increase the number of the people 100-fold for your royal majesty to see it with his own eyes. But why? Why does it please my lord the king to order a thing of this kind, to count?" The king, however, overruled Joab, because you know the king has power over the army and the leaders of the army. So they left the king's presence in order to register the people of Israel. You see, the Lord doesn't want us to count numbers, and you know what? It's a man thing. You know, it's a man thing. We're into numbers. And I'm going to tell you, I'm into numbers too. But God's not into numbers. Though we wish and pray that he would convert thousands of people, starting with me more and more. But afterwards, however, David regretted having numbered the people. And he said to the Lord, "I have sinned grievously in what I've done. But now, Lord, forgive my guilt, the guilt of your servant, for I have been very foolish." You see, you don't depend upon numbers. You depend upon the Lord. When David rose in the morning, the Lord had spoken to the prophet Gad. You see, there's always someone to offset the king, and that's the prophet. The prophet is to offset the king. The prophet is to speak to the king. Now, I'm going to tell you, even though you're the king, you can kill the prophet. You might not like what the prophet says, even if it's God's word, and you can kill the prophet, and then you know what? Then you're in trouble. But anyway, the prophet was always used to balance the king. We have priest, prophet, and king. You know what? We have the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. It's after the Bible. But you know what? I'm not even getting into this. The judicial has become the legislative. The judicial was supposed to be the one to balance everything, but they've become lawmakers in the United States, and that's wrong. But I'm not going down that road today. When David rose in the morning, the Lord had spoken to the prophet Gad, that David's seer, saying, "Go and say to King David, this is what the Lord says. Go and say to David, this is what the Lord says. I offer you three alternatives because you counted, because you numbered the people. Choose one of them, and I will inflict it on you." Gad then went to David to inform him. He asked, "Do you want a three-year famine to come upon your land, or to flee from your enemy just 3 months while he pursues you, or to have 3 days of pestilence in your land?" In other words, because you've counted, God is giving you a choice. Do you want a three-year famine to come upon the land, or to flee from your enemy 3 months while he pursues you, or a three-day pestilence in the land? Now, David, consider and decide. I must reply to the Lord, to him who sent me. So David answered Gad, "I am in very serious difficulty. let us fall by the hand of God, for the hand of God is most merciful. Let us not fall by the hand of man. Thus David chose the three-day pestilence. Now it was the time of the wheat harvest, you know, that's after Pentecost, when the plague broke out among the people. And the Lord then sent a pestilence over Israel from morning until the time appointed, and 70,000 of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. But when the angel stretched forth his hand to go toward Jerusalem, to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord regretted the calamity and said to the angel that was causing the destruction among the people, Basta! Enough! Stay your hand. The angel of the Lord was then standing at the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. Now let me tell you about the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. That is the place where Abraham offered Isaac. That is also the place where David erected the tabernacle with the Ark of the Covenant. And that is the place where Solomon built the temple, and it was the place of the Holy of Holies. It's the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. It is called today the Temple Mount. It is the place where we see the mosque with the golden dome. That's what David erected. When David saw the angel who was striking the people, he said to the Lord, It is I who have sinned. It is I, the shepherd, who have done wrong. But these are sheep. What have they done? Lord, punish me and my family, my kindred. On the same day, Gad went to David and said to him, Go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. Now that's the place where Abraham offered Isaac. It's the place where he builds an altar where they will erect the tabernacle, where the tent will be, and they will place the Ark of the Covenant right upon the rock where Abraham offered Isaac. That's the place where they built the temple where the Holy of Holies was. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 silver pieces and offered holocausts and peace offerings. And the Lord granted relief to the country, and the plague was checked in Israel. Today I want to speak about shepherding. We must look at the roots of King David. If you remember when Samuel came to anoint David, he was the youngest one, and he was in the fields tending the flocks. And the scripture tells us that Samuel was to go to Jesse's house to anoint a king. This is before Saul died. And so he brings the oil, the sticky oil, the gooey oil, and he's going to anoint the king. And so he looks at all of Jesse's sons, and they're all handsome, but the Lord says, he is not my anointed. I did not choose him. Until finally he says to Jesse, do you have any more children, any more sons? He says, oh yes, I've got a little boy, and he's out in the field, and he's tending the flocks. Bring him to me. And when Samuel saw David, the Spirit of God rushed upon him. He knew the anointing was upon David. The anointing was upon David. And immediately he pours that gooey oil over his head. He becomes the anointed of the Lord, even before the death of Saul. David was a shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. David was a shepherd, and when the enemy came in, he would give his life for the sheep. Now, David sins. He counts the people of Israel. He counts them, and God punishes all of Israel. And what does David say? David says, It is I, Lord, who have sinned. It is I am the shepherd who have done wrong, but these are the sheep. What wrong have they done? Punish me and my kindred. You see, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus did nothing wrong. Jesus took on our punishment. Jesus bore our wounds and carried our infirmities. Jesus took on our sins. Jesus became a curse. But let's look at David again. David still is a shepherd. He will give his life for the sheep, even though this pestilence is because he didn't trust the Lord. Take my life. Take my family's life. Leave these sheep alone, Lord. Leave these sheep alone. I've done wrong. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now we must know that shepherds have the heart of Jesus, if they're really shepherds. In order to be a shepherd, you must have the heart of Jesus, at least part of his heart. I remember when Matthew was in the seminary and had gone through 1 year at the seminary, at St. John's Seminary. He spent the summer with me. We would sit down in the corridor between 12 and 3 in the morning, and we'd talk about being shepherds, about having the heart of a shepherd, about giving our life to Jesus, about laying down our life for the sheep. And I would say, Matt, you know, if you're ever ordained, you've got to pray for the heart of a shepherd, because the shepherd cares for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. Shepherds are called to care for the sheep. Shepherds are not called to care for themselves. They are called to care for the sheep, not for themselves. We see in Ezekiel 34 how when God is so upset with the shepherds, why? Because he says the shepherds care for themselves. They don't care for my sheep. They take the sheep, but they don't care for them. They take from them. They don't care for the poor and the broken and the sleek and the empty ones. So God, in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, talks against the shepherds. The shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep after the life of Jesus. I have a picture that's in my room. It was in the pilot when I was ordained. It was very interesting because my ordination day was not a very good day to me, and I'll tell you why. The devil was in the sanctuary with me, tormenting me. He was tormenting me on the day of my ordination. I just don't even want to go down that road, okay? Everybody was happy, but the devil is tormenting me because he knew that the Lord had done something in my life, and from the first day of the ordination, he tried to destroy me. I'm not going down there. But I do want to say this. The part of the ordination that touched me most was when I received the chalice from the bishop. And that is the picture that the pilot took, me receiving the chalice. And these are the words that were spoken to me. Receive these gifts, that's the chalice and the paten, which will hold the bread, from the people of God, whose priest you are. Model yourself after the good shepherd who loved us and gave his life for us. Model yourself after the good shepherd who loved us and gave his life for us. You see, David says, don't take it out on the sheep. Take it out on me. I've sinned. I know what it is to be a shepherd. I cared for the sheep out in the field. David never forgot his roots. He cared for the sheep out in the field. He would lay down his life when the lion came or the bear came. He would do what he needed to do. He cared for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And I'm going to tell you, everyone's not a good shepherd. But those who give their life to the sheep, those who will be inconvenienced, those who will let God rule their lives, they are the shepherds. Some of them are Catholic. Some of them are Protestant. Some of them are Orthodox. Some of them are non-denominational. But they're good shepherds. They will lay down their life for the sheep. They don't have to be clergy. You don't have to be clergy to be a shepherd. Every father should be the shepherd of the home. Lay down his life for his wife and children. That's what they're called to do. Every husband should be the shepherd of the family and the priest, leading the people in his home in prayer, laying down his life for the sheep, for his family. not thinking about himself, but caring for those that have been entrusted to him. Every father should be the shepherd of the house. That's the way it was modeled to be. Every pastor, be they Catholic or Protestant or Orthodox, should be a shepherd that would give their life for the sheep, that would join with Jesus in taking on what the sheep need, even if it means persecution, even if it means death. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. David says, "Take my life. Don't take it out on them. I've sinned." Jesus said, "Take my life. Don't take it out on them. I've never sinned. I will die in their place. I will go to the cross. I will bear their wounds, and I will carry their infirmities. I will suffer for them. I will become the curse, because the scripture says, 'Cursed is the man who dies upon a cross.' I will become the sin offering, the sacrifice that ends all sacrifices." I'm talking about blood sacrifices now. That's why St. Paul says, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice of praise." You see, we were never called to live for ourselves. We were never called to live for ourselves. There's the problem. People who are in religion, who live for themselves. You know, it could be the one who runs the choir. We were never called to live for ourselves. And yet that's what human nature is all about. Human nature is to think about me, number one. I tell you, when you become a shepherd, you are not number one. You can never be number one. You must give your life for the sheep. Matthew, you pray for a shepherd's heart, and you know what? He's got one. He's got one, and it's growing. It's growing. It's growing. You know, on his vacation, he just took a whole group of high school kids to Rome that didn't belong to his parish, and he preached the gospel. And he prayed with them, and many were touched. He's got a shepherd's heart. He's got a shepherd's heart. For so many years, you know, on my vacation, I used to bring people to Israel. And we'd be there 2 or 3 weeks, and people's lives would be changed. I would come home like a rag, exhausted, because it was no vacation. We would start at 8 in the morning or 7 in the morning. We'd finish at 11 at night. I'd give them Bible studies. We'd be praying with the sick. God would use us. I don't do that anymore. It's too hard for me right now. I can't do it. Maybe in 3 years, maybe in 2 years, I can do it again. But right now, you know, someone said, "Would you like to have another trip to the Holy Land taking pilgrims?" I can't do it. I've poured out. I have to step back right now. It doesn't mean that I like stepping back. I have to do what I have to do. But I can't do what I used to do as a younger man, because I poured everything out. But there's much more to be poured out, you see. Much more to be poured out. St. Paul says, "I have run the race." This is the end of his life. "I have finished the race. I have gained the crown. My life is being poured out like a drink offering, like a libation." You know what that means? It was, they used to get the drink offering and throw it in the fire. That's what St. Paul says. "My life is being poured out like a drink offering, as a sacrifice to God." That's what the shepherd is called to do. Being poured out as a drink offering. Offering the life as a living sacrifice of praise. You see, there is no honor in being a priest. Let me just tell you that. There is tremendous responsibility. There is no honor in being a Catholic. It is a tremendous responsibility. We heard the Pope say yesterday that, you know, the church is found in the Catholic Church alone. You know what? I believe that. But I'm going to tell you, he didn't say the second part. Therefore, we are more responsible than anybody else. And if our lives are not being poured out, we will go to hell. Do you understand that? We will go to hell. Because God doesn't look at who has the fullness. He looks at what we do and how we lay down our lives for the sheep. That's what God looks at. God doesn't say, you know, those wonderful Catholics. No, no, no. He says they have the fullness of truth, but let's see how they're living it. Are they living like David? Kill me. Don't kill the people. Crucify me. Don't crucify the people. Let the pain come upon me, not on the people. That's the good shepherd. Jesus never said, I am the fullness of divinity. And he was. Jesus never said, I am the image of the invisible God. He never said that, and he was. Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. So I don't want to correct Pope Benedict. Today's his feast day. Pray for him. I don't want to correct him. I want to add to what he said. Maybe he did say it. I haven't read it all. Maybe he did say it. I haven't read it all. I've only read what I've read. The fullness of faith is in the Catholic Church. I believe that. But listen, baby, if we are not laying down our lives for the sheep, if we are not giving over our hearts to Christ, if we are not being crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, we will go to hell. Do you understand that? That's the second part. We do not want to be like the man that took all his wheat and all his corn and said, now I can relax because I've got the fullness of the faith. And Jesus said, you fool, today your life will be required of you. You see, there's no boasting when you have a lot. There's responsibility. I don't know what the Pope said completely, and I will find out. But the second part is responsibility. To whom much is given, much is expected. Catholics are more responsible than Pentecostals. But you know what? I've seen Pentecostals give themselves for their sheep. And I've seen some Catholics, but not very many. Which means what St. John Chrysostom said is true. The road to hell is paved with the heads of priests. That's why you need to pray for your priests. That's why you need to sacrifice for your priests. That's why you need to get on your knees for your priests. That's why you need to ask the Lord to change us. Start with me. Start with me. That the Lord would change us. That he would change me. That I would have more the heart of a shepherd. That I would live the life of Jesus more. That I would think less of myself and more of him and more of his people. That's why God's people need to pray for their shepherds. Don't you dare criticize them. Pray for your shepherds. Pray for your priests. Pray. Do penance. Stop eating meat on a Friday for them. Do something for your shepherds. Your shepherds need to be converted. Your shepherds need to know who Jesus is so they can proclaim it with their hearts. But you see, the people need to pray for their shepherds. They need to do penance for their shepherds. Do you know what St. Teresa of Avila says? Doctor of the church, you get the priest you deserve. You get the priest you deserve. You get the priest you deserve. That means you better start praying for your priests. And if you're not Catholic, you better start praying for your ministers. Pray for them. Do penance for them. Fast for them. They are given a tremendous responsibility. That's why St. James says, let there be few teachers among you, because the teacher will be judged more harshly. You know what? I'm talking to myself right now. Here I am on the radio every day. You hear me at 11:30 in Boston. If you listen to WEZE 590, I'm on at 11:15. I'm always preaching, you know. I will be judged more harshly because here I am preaching all the time, pontificating. God forgive me. God forgive me. God forgive me. But I've got to preach. Even when I'm in sin, I've got to preach. Because that's the mandate that's been given to me. Even when I'm faithless, I've got to preach. That's why you better pray for me. You better pray for me. I don't want to preach to you and become a castaway, as St. Paul said. Lest I preach to so many people and I end up in hell. You better pray for me and for your shepherds. That's your assignment today, to pray for me and your shepherds. That's your assignment. And you know what your assignment is tomorrow? To pray for me and your shepherds. And then on Friday, to pray and fast for me and your shepherds. And then on Saturday, to start all over again. Every day ending in Y. All right? Because, you know, we have a great responsibility. Please pray for me. Tonight, we will be at the Espousal Retreat House at 7:30. We will have Mass, and hallelujah. Bring your pots and pans tonight. We're going to praise the Lord. Come on now. Bring your tambourines and your dancing shoes. Come on now. Bring everything with you that we start praising God the way He deserves to be praised tonight, because He's the worthy Lamb of God. We come to worship Him at the Eucharist, which is the summit and the source and summit of our faith, where Jesus Christ gives Himself as the new and everlasting covenant to the Father, the one sacrifice of Calvary. Then we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, singing and praising God. Hallelujah. Bring your pots and your pans tonight. Come on. Come on. We're going to have a good time tonight. If you've got castanets, bring your castanets. If you've got ram's horns, the shofar, bring your shofar tonight. Come on. We'll blow the trumpet in Zion. We'll see that the Lord's coming in a mighty way. We're going to pray for the shepherds. I'm offering Mass for the shepherds tonight, for Benedict, for the cardinals, for the bishops, and me too. Because you know what? To whom much is given, much is expected. Please pray for me. Listen, I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Come on now, it's the summer. I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon the shepherds of the sheep. Amen. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.